So this is the second sermon of a two-part mini-series on Ephesians 4, particularly verses 11 through 13. And focusing, super zooming in on verse 12. Last week we looked at the idea of equipping the saints, and this week we're focusing on the work of ministry. So Elaine read Ephesians 4, 1 to 16, gives us the larger context for those three verses. And let me remind you of the single sentence that we're diving into, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. Let's pray before we continue. God, help all of us to hear your voice clearly this morning. Give us ears to hear you speak into our lives, both individually and collectively, as the congregation here at Woma Road Baptist Church. Thank you for your presence with us through your Spirit. Amen. So this week our focus is on four words from Ephesians 4:12, the work of ministry. So let's start with what ministry means. Ministry means service. And it's not all it means. It's a big word, but it's all it means. It's not a magic code secret word that clergy do as part of a mysterious call from God. It's service. When someone does ministry, they serve God. They serve the church, and they serve the wider kingdom of God. Ministry or service is outward looking. When a person serves, they serve others, not themselves. When a person serves, they're looking out for the interests of others, not their own interests. Ministry is service, and it's directed toward other people. All of us, all saints, all followers of Jesus do the work of ministry. We are all ministers. We look outside ourselves to do the work of service for building up the body of Christ. When I serve, it isn't about me, it's about you, all of you. You is plural in that case. We do the work of ministry in order to build up the body of Christ with the larger goal of maturity in Christ. Maturing or growing up in faith means change. I don't know if any of you had fun looking at the difference a decade makes photos that people were posting on social media this week. Lots of people posted photos of themselves in 2009, then 2019 to show if there was any difference or not. In most cases, you can see the difference 10 years makes, externally at least. People's hairstyle and hair color changes. They've got different glasses. Some have glasses, some lost glasses. Some have more facial hair, some less. And there's all these external differences in the way people look. And sometimes from the pictures you can also see that life has shifted for the person in 10 years because of the people they're with in their photos. Maybe they've got small children in their newer picture. But the photos by themselves don't really give us a sense of how the person themselves may have changed in the last decade. Have they changed or grown? Have they matured in their outlook on the world? We can't tell from just the photos. We might make a guess, but it would take a longer interaction with a person to find out how they've changed in more than externals in the last 10 years. As Christians, we might ask, have each of us matured spiritually or grown up in our faith in the last decade? Last week, we talked about how the Christian life requires maturing in faith. We all need to grow up in our faith so that we are no longer infants or merely children, easily deceived by tricks, needing only milk or simple teaching in faith. We all need to grow into faith maturity, to become stable, able to take in solid food or more difficult and complex teaching. Last week, I also pointed out that the faith maturity that's described in Ephesians 4 is not primarily about individual faith maturity, but the maturity of all of us, the whole body of Christ. This means that spiritual maturity is not just about me and Jesus and my private spiritual practices. Spiritual maturity is about all of us growing up together. My spiritual maturity depends on you, as yours does on mine. We have a common goal. The church, the body of Christ, reflects the maturity of Christ. That is our common goal. That the church, the body of Christ, reflect the maturity of Christ. We are called together to be like Jesus. We can't leave anyone behind. So the work of ministry, which is our focus today, has this corporate spiritual maturity as its goal. The work of ministry that we are all called to do has this corporate spiritual maturity as its goal. Because the goal of the work of ministry or the work of service, whichever word you prefer, is corporate, together, I'm going to stop talking. And I'm going to ask you to talk to each other. And I realize this makes us, some of us, uneasy. Some of you would prefer not to talk to others about anything of any depth. And some of you really enjoy engaging others in depth, but find any time we have to do that in the service is much too short. So none of us are going to find this exercise completely satisfying. So let's think of it as a starting point. If we're going to grow in our faith together, become together a mature reflection of Jesus, then we need to talk to each other about faith, about our understanding of what it means to be like Jesus as a congregation. If you're unsure what you think or you're uncomfortable sharing, listen, ask questions. This is the beginning of a conversation. You have permission to continue it after the service and in the weeks to come. So here's what I'd like you to talk to each other about. What characteristics does a spiritually mature individual have? So what is a spiritually mature individual like? What characteristics do they have? And then use those individual characteristics as a starting point to how you might describe a spiritually mature congregation or local church. How do you talk about spiritual maturity with a group of people together? And if you need a starting point, Ephesians 4 through 6, those chapters that I talked about as being, hey, this is all about what growing up in faith looks like last week, that's a good starting point. So find two or three people to talk with that are around you. Preferably no more than about four in a group. Make sure everybody knows everybody's names, and then talk. What does spiritual maturity look like in individuals and then in a group? Stop. just quickly tack something on here. As you're talking about the maturity of a congregation, then start also to think, well, what are works of service that build up the faith maturity of a congregation? What are possible works of service that build up the faith maturity of a congregation? Yes, definitely. Making the coffee is very key, Rosemary. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay, so those are as you're starting, you're talking about the congregational maturity. Think also then about what are some things that build up this maturity, works of ministry, works of service that build up that maturity. Okay. Okay, remember how I said this is the beginning of a conversation? I'm pretty sure you didn't get as much finished as you'd like to. There's always more to say on things like this. So what are you finding as you're talking together? What does a mature community of faith look like? What are some characteristics of a group of Christians who are mature together? Yes, Keitha. Okay, so the roots go deep into the Word of God, and then there's fruit for the season, okay? What does that look like for a congregation? That's often as taken as an individual. I can see this, though, as a congregational thing as well, that a congregation that's rooted deeply. Okay, that has stability, that feeds on the Word of God, that then has fruit in seasons of whatever's appropriate for the season that they're in. Okay, what are some other things that, especially for the congregation, for the group? Yes, Andrea. Okay, so there's not the sense of perfection, but a sense of confidence that we're following Jesus. Okay, yes. So it's love. Carrie says it's all about love. You want to repeat that, Carrie?
For both the individual and the church as a whole, the idea, the biggest idea was that we need to put on love, both for God, for ourselves as well, and then for others.
So it's all about love. Okay. Is there anything else that's key for thinking especially of the congregation, the group kinds of maturity?
It comes down to volunteering, and I know that's a sort of mundane word, but when you volunteer, you want to help your congregation by making your place of worship a really spiritual place, not also spiritual, but physical, in as much as that you are all friends, are all family, are all part of the same group, and that you love one another.
Okay, so it's expressions of love by works, volunteering in some way. Okay, doing some act of taking care of something.
Yeah, so we had the idea that we all form one body, and as members of a church, you know, it's important for us not to, you know, not for a hand to try and be a foot, and to really know what, you know, what our role or our roles are in this congregation. And then also, like, taking one step further, seeing what the role of our church is in our community, and not trying to be something that we aren't, and really trying to see where God is leading us in the community we're in, and seeing how we can benefit the lives of those around us.
There's a lot that's going on here. So there's being caring for each other, taking time to care for each other, being rooted deeply, being connected to God, I think is very key, obviously, and being direct, having the discernment to know what God is doing with and for us. So as we're doing this together, this is, it's not easy being part of a real community. It sounds wonderful and lovely. We all love each other and we're part of a family, but it's not always easy being part of a real community. And I think that's evident if you think about families and some of the dynamics that can happen in families that aren't so perfect, yeah? So this is a family as well. So it's not always the easiest thing to be part of a community, a real community that's growing together to be like Jesus.
So in the scripture it says, iron sharpeneth iron, and we were talking about speaking the truth in love. And so that's also part, like, we're not perfect, but if you're going to correct someone, you have to take the log out of your own eye first, but then with love correct what you see in others.
Yeah, and I think speaking the truth in love is part of that passage, that whole big passage that Elaine read to us, that I think is one of the key aspects of what's going on here. And a lot of times people remember the speaking the truth part and they forget about the in love part, right? So we have to remember that we need to be able to speak and also to receive in an attitude of love, right? Sometimes it's not always easy to listen to someone say something to you that needs to be said. That can be difficult. Is there anything else that somebody had that is popping into your head that you think is important that we need to get down here?
A mature group has a sensitivity in its leadership to the diversity of gifts present, has discernment of gifts, and helps each person's gifting to develop. So there's diversity within the mature group, and there's leadership that is serving the development of those gifts that God has given you. There's good relating, there's strong leadership. People lead by example is one of the things we said here. But that diversity and the Spirit's giftings.
Yeah, so it's important, I think, as Jesse said, that the hand doesn't try to do what the foot is supposed to do. Or we all don't all try to be an eye. Here's a camp memory for you. One winter weekend, I was with junior high girls, and we were talking about the body of Christ, and spontaneously a discussion rose at a table during a meal. What would it be like if your whole body was just a big eye? And how? Their imagination just kind of flew with that, and they ran with it for quite some time. So it was a really interesting conversation. If you think about it, we can't all do the same thing, and we shouldn't all do the same thing. The diversity of gifts, as Bruce points out, is really important. And the illustration of the body of Christ helps us to think about that. The physical body has different parts, but they all work together. They're all part of the same whole. And then part of what our works of service can be is helping one another to develop our individual gifts to fit together well. So let me wrap this up, so that we don't spill too much into our coffee time, because coffee is important, as Rosemary has reminded us. You and I are part of something bigger than just us as individuals. It's a bigger thing. We're connected to each other, which is fantastic. We have each other for support. But it also means, in some ways, losing something that our society values, our independence, our strong I can do it kinds of attitudes. We need to get rid of those and learn how to be interdependent, how to say to each other, yes, I can do this for you, but you can do this for me, and help each other out. To love each other, to speak the truth in love, to learn what our gifts are and to use our gifts, and then help build each other up in using our gifts. We learn really easily from our culture that we need to be independent and strong and all by ourselves and build our own success. But as Christians, that's not what we're about. As a church, that's not what we're about. We rely on God, and God works through each of us. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in the world today. So my question for all of us as we end is, how are we serving each other to build up the body of Christ? So carry that with you this week. How are you? How do you fit into serving each other to build up the body of Christ, both here at Walmer and the larger body of Christ? Because many of us know other people who are Christians in our workplaces or from other friendships at other times. How are we building up the body of Christ? How are we serving each other to build up the body of Christ?